Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. I'm Mary Lynn Polk, the lay leader, and we are so glad that you're here today. I'm certain that you've all enjoyed that marvelous music that we had as our prelude to the prelude. I want to call your attention. There are several things in the bulletin, but I would like to call your attention to the Light and Darkness service, which will be held at 6:30 on the 21st, and the Prayer Labyrinth will be set up in the gym all week. You are invited to come and walk the Prayer Labyrinth during this Holy Week's services. I would also like to remind you that the Christmas Day service and the New Year's Day service will start at 10:30. There will be no Sunday school or breakfast. The services will be at 10:30. On the 1st, there will be the Wesley Covenant service. And then on Christmas Day, we're having a family service. It will be a reading of the scripture and singing of carols. All children are invited to participate since it is a family event. Now, let us continue our worship as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
All who are able, please stand for the call to worship. God, our shepherd, you lead us like a flock. You are enthroned upon the cherubim. Shine forth, stir up your might, and come to save us. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your light shine, that we may be saved. Put your hand on your chosen one, the one you made strong for yourself. Give us life, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your light shine, that we may be saved.
please, in praying the prayer of invocation as printed in your bulletin. Son of God, you took on human likeness and became obedient to death. Return to reign over the earth you love. Mary's child, you made your home with us, and God exalted you. Shine with a light no light can overcome. Crucified and risen Jesus, your name is above every name. Bring us to the tree of life for the healing of the nations. Savior of the nations, come. Then shall every knee bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Amen. A Christmas creed from Latin America. Let us make our affirmation together. I believe in Jesus Christ and in the power of the gospel, which began in Bethlehem. I believe in the one whose spirit glorified a small village, of whose coming the shepherds saw the sign, and from whom there was no room in the inn. I believe in the one whose life changed the course of history, for whom the kings of the earth had no power, and who was not understood by the proud. I believe in the one whom the power, the oppressed, the discouraged, the afflicted, the sick, the blind, the leprous gave welcome and accepted as Lord and Savior. I believe in peace, reconciliation, forgiveness, and the transforming power of the gospel. I believe that Christmas is strength and power, and that this world can change if with humility and with faith we kneel before the manger.
This fourth Sunday of Advent, we light again the first three candles. We remember our longing for God to be with us, to give us peace, and to rejoice with us. Today we light a fourth candle, the candle of love, and our circle is complete. This candle is a symbol of God's love that was born in you in baby Jesus on Christmas Day. It is a love that has no ending, that lives on in young and old, not just at Christmas, but throughout the year. For once you lived in shadow, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, enjoying all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Sleepers awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.
Thank you. The gospel lesson this morning is from the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, verses 26 through 38. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
Prayer concerns for today are for Dr. Bill Klauber, Ed Munnerlin, Nancy Morgan, who is in rehab. And also, I would mention that there are two angels left on the angel tree. If you would like to pick them up, they need to be, the presents need to be purchased and given to the Salvation Army by tomorrow. So there's two that are left. And if you can tell, been a little bit of holly and ivy that has affected my throat. Maybe some poinsettias and some mistletoe and cedar. And so I just ask you to be in prayer that I'll make it through this. So let us pray. Holy Lord, as we think about love coming down at Christmas, we pray, Holy Lord, that you will so saturate the family here at Main Street, that your love would penetrate every heart and every life. These very walls almost would seem to ooze with the love of God. We pray, Holy Lord, for our church family, wherever they may be this season, wherever life has taken them, whether it is to be with other friends and loved ones, or whether they have been called by their company or by our country to serve in a faraway place. We pray not only for your love, but also for your peace, that your peace would settle deep within our hearts, and that we would know the Prince of Peace, the one who came into our world as the babe of Bethlehem. We pray, dear God, for these, our church family, whether in the hospital or wherever. Dear God, be with them. Be with them and their families, for knowing that where there is one who is shut in, that there is another there with them. Husband, wife, son, daughter, loved one that's helping. Again, dear God, we thank you for this season. We thank you for this time of preparation and for each one who lend a hand to help make this time so meaningful. Be with us, dear God, as we continue to worship you this day. Bless us, O God, with your presence once again. Amen. Ushers, would you come, please, as we worship the Lord with our morning tithes and offerings. Thank you. Holy God, as we celebrate the greatest gift of all, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, we realize that what we have to give does not even remotely begin to signify and to compare to the love that you displayed upon us in your precious gift. But we do bring these gifts to you, giving from that which we have received, a mere portion. Bless these gifts, Almighty God, for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. Bless those who gave and those who chose not to give this day. In Christ's name, amen.
Please be seated. It's time for the children's message, so we asked all children to come to the front, please.
As they come up, they are collecting money for Heifer Project. We're about $40 shy of our goal of $160 for the gardener's basket.
Good morning. Everybody looks so Christmassy. So nice. Today, we are going to talk about things that are impossible. Can you think of some things that aren't possible? What's one? Oh, I knew you were going to say that. That's actually on my list, too. She said licking your elbow. That is correct. That was on my list as well. Yes, you can try it. It won't work. You can? No? Good try. What's another thing? Oh, well, that may very well be true. I would not advise that, jumping off a cliff, right. How about counting the stars? How about counting the grains of sand? How about traveling through time? Not at this point, anyway. How about making a day longer than 24 hours? You can do that? No, I don't think so. How about making you go to bed on Christmas Eve? Is that impossible? No. Okay. But do you know what? Sometimes even things that seem impossible are possible. I've got an interesting example. Think about a bumblebee. And as far as insects go, a bumblebee is pretty heavy. It's got a pretty heavy body. But it's got very small wings. There are even some scientists who would argue that they should not be able to fly, yet they do. Our scripture today is from chapter 1 in Luke, and it's about the angel Gabriel visiting Mary and telling her that the Holy Spirit was going to visit her soon and that she would have a baby and that he would be Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Well, you can imagine that Mary was quite surprised, and she said, "How could this be?" And the angel Gabriel said, nothing is impossible with God. Mary believed the angel, and she did have a baby. And he was Jesus Christ. And he is the Son of God. And he is the Savior of the world. We have to remember that, like the heavy bumblebee, who would seem not to be able to fly because of his heavy body and his very small wings, even so, he defies scientific odds and flies anyway. We have to remember that Mary had her own impossible miracle. Can we pray? Dear God, thank you for the birth of Jesus. Help us to remember that nothing is impossible with God. Amen. And Merry Christmas.
Be seated. I would like to make three additional announcements. We have mentioned in times gone by that if we want to get a family in the church, one of the things that we need to do is get the men involved in the church. And there is a spiritual retreat for men at Asbury Hills on January the 21st through the 23rd. It's a weekend retreat. It's a Friday check-in after 12. Friday night worship begins at 8. And it says, real men are disciples of Jesus Christ. Real men pray and search Scripture. Real men experience the grace of God for healing inner wounds. And real men see husband and fathers as real men see husband and father as sacred task. And it's $100 to be a part of that. And I bring it before you. And hopefully we'll have some people that will avail themselves to this spiritual retreat. It's an intense spiritual retreat. Also, the district, Greenwood District Connectional Ministries, is having a job function workshop. And the job function workshop is for children ministries, church council formation, communications, evangelism, small groups, SPPRC trustees, and then vital congregations. And these will be available in the office, or if you see me today, I should have copies of this so you make yourself available. And then also there is a historic crisis, historic response, historic breakground prayer session in Greenville on the 17th of January. It's a call to prayer for a nation in crisis. And if you'd like to know more about that, see me also after church or this week, whenever. I'm constantly reminded whenever I read the scriptures that I'm reading primarily a Jewish book. Some of the traditions and customs are only understood as I research the various traditions within the section that I'm reading about and understand a little bit of Jewish mentality. It is very possible that the angel Gabriel came to Mary at the age of around 15, 16 years old. She was engaged to Joseph, apparently in some type of family contract. And this family contract very easily could have taken place when she was about 13. So she had been contracted out to marry Joseph for almost 3 years. It's also very possible that she was an orphan, and very likely that she was very poor. We know very little about Mary, and yet I do remember listening to a seminar that a Catholic priest gave on Mary, and he spoke about how wonderful she was, and I am sure that he was accurate. But I did ask myself the question, what resource did he have that he could know so much about this precious lady that seemingly sometimes as Protestants we shy away from? I can imagine, rather I cannot imagine, a young girl of her age being excited about having a baby. Every time I read this passage of Scripture, I think about the invasion into this young person's life. I remember visiting up in the mountain section of North Carolina and talking to a woman who began to have children at a very young age, and I still remember her words. She said, "It seems that I have been expecting, or I have had a baby all my life." I remember when the decision was made in our home to begin to think about having a child, it scared me to death. The very thought of my life becoming invested in the complication of raising a little one like my parents had raised me literally pushed me into an area that I didn't want to be. And the night of our daughter's birth, I remember that we were in a sanitary hospital, surrounded by nurses on all shifts and doctors available with a phone call. Mary's ordeal was not something that she had planned. It was unexpected. And it could have easily resulted in her execution. Women were killed for having relations with someone outside the marriage contract. And many times you remember when we read the passage of Scripture where the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery and they were going to stone her, and Jesus knelt down and wrote in the ground, and we don't know what Jesus wrote. But I have heard some to speculate that Jesus asked, Where is the man in this accusation? And yet we think later on about Joseph and how he embraced Mary, and he also affirmed with Mary that his name was to be called Jesus. That beautiful manger scene that we enjoy, and we have the creches at several places within our church, is probably not a reality of how things were on that first Christmas morning. It probably was in reality a lot more of how some of you felt when you had your child. Exhausted. Maybe a little pale of color. And yet that giddy delight that resonates inside of moms when they want to hold that precious one that they have carried in their bosom for so long and cuddle that precious life to their bosom and count its little toes and hold its little fingers and count the fingers and rub their hand through its hair or lack of hair. And the message comes to Mary, an angel. How did Mary know this was an angel, and how did he not scare her to death if he revealed all the holy aura that we perceive around angels? And what did she do at the age of 13 or whatever to find favor with God? How did she find such favor with God that the God of creation would choose this lady, this person, to enter our world? I remember when I had the privilege to kneel at Church of the Nativity at the place that is perceived to be where Jesus was born. And I was overcome with the reality that my Savior was born of woman, was a human being just like me. Christ enters our world to a poor, unmarried maybe, orphan girl. He would be laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. No wonder. No wonder that people who were looking for another route that this Savior would enter the world had such a hard time in embracing him. And yet Luke's lineage tells us all about the lineage of Jesus, the persons of ill repute, the kings, the people just like you, just like me, make up Christ's lineage. He came into the world not as an exception from who we are, but he came into the world just like you, and just like me. And Mary's response is without a sense of panic or self-preservation. Her response is only to the great goodness of the news that she had received. She does not protest the hardship that this good news will in doubt inflict upon her. But Mary's response to the news that she must report on her wedding night to the groom, maybe with the news that she is already expectingly a divine begotten child. And she says to Gabriel, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be." King Duncan, in the Canadian version of the Reader's Digest, tells of a large moose that wandered into a residential area in Calgary, Canada. The moose ended up on the lawn of a lady's home named Lorana Cade. A fish and wildlife officer was dispatched to try to coax the magnificent animal back into the wild. After 2 hours of absolutely no progress, the officer finally shot the moose with a tranquilizer dart. The moose, it said, bolted down a lane and eventually collapsed on another nearby lawn. The reporter who had been following the event interviewed the lady at the house where the moose collapsed. And they asked her what she thought about the moose which had passed out on her lawn. "I'm surprised," she said, "but it's not as surprised as my husband will be. You see, he's out moose hunting." And a large moose had come to him. And this is Christmas. Christ has come to us, but maybe not in the way that was expected. Some thought maybe a king's son or a priest's son. And maybe he would grow up in the palace or in the temple. Virgins don't have babies, do they? Michael Hendricks tells about a dinner party that he once attended during the Christmas season, and the house was properly decorated, including an electric train, and it ran around the base of the tree. And one of the children was running the train too fast, and it derailed. She was bent over the train trying to put it back on the track, and the host noticed what she was doing and went over to help, and he said to her, "You can't do that from above. You have to get down beside it." And they lay flat on the floor and beside the train where you could see where to place the train back on the track. What a wonderful way to think about the incarnation, Hendricks said. The human race has been derailed and needs to be put back on the track of life. It can't be done from above. God has to come down beside us in order to put us on track. And that's what God did in Jesus Christ. God came and lived among us in the person of His Son to show us His love and to put us back on the track of life. He also tells about Humphrey, the humpback whale. Humphrey became a national celebrity in 1985 when he made his way into the San Francisco Bay and headed up the Sacramento River into fresh water, which of course would have been fatal for him. Each evening, a large local television audience would tune in for the latest update on Humphrey's plight. The national media coverage began and the whole country watch the ensuing story. Many experts and well-meaning laypeople attempted to get Humphrey to turn around and to go back to the saltwater environment of the ocean, but nothing worked. Several weeks of being trapped in fresh water, the Sacramento Delta began to take its toll on Humphrey. His skin was graying. He was becoming more and more listless. And none of the traditional herding techniques were working. And the world held its breath as Humphrey appeared to be dying. At a last-ditch effort, Dr. Bernard Cross, who had recorded the sounds of humpback whales, the sounds that they made while feeding, suggested using them as a possible way to lure Humphrey out. And no one knew if this would work, but it was the last shot at saving him. A speaker was lowered over the side of the boat, and the sound of other humpback whales were played, and everyone stood quietly while the eerie songs reverberated through the hull. Suddenly, Humphrey emerged from the water at the bow of the ship, right where the speaker was playing. And it gazed at the startled crew. The captain quickly started down the river while Humphrey followed close behind. As they approached the San Francisco Bay and the water gained in salinity, Humphrey was visibly excited and began diving deeply to everyone's delight and amazement. It was like the climax to a Hollywood film. The air was filled with helicopters and the riverbanks were lined with thousands of spectators and all cheering Humphrey on to freedom. And though the crew lost sight of him that night, they picked him back up in the morning and led him out to the Golden Gate Bridge, to the freedom of the Pacific Ocean, where he promptly headed south to parts unknown. Nothing worked for Humphrey until he heard the sounds of other humpback whales. Maybe it takes a whale to talk to a whale. And God now on this day seeks to communicate his love and his purpose for humanity. He tried through the laws, he tried through the prophets, he tried through the scriptures, he tried through worship, he tried through the Hebrew people in the temple of Jerusalem, but the people still didn't get it. This morning we may not know how much God loves us. That God's ultimate plan was for us to love one another, so God now did the only thing. God became one of us in the babe in the manger. God came to us when intellectually we couldn't reach out to him. Let us accept him afresh as the babe of Bethlehem during this season and embrace the true gift of Christmas, even though it may cramp our styles. Amen. Closing hymn number 245, and I invite you again, if you'd like to come to this altar, you feel free to come during the singing of this last hymn, 245. Thank you. thank Aaron and Drew for enhancing our worship service, playing on the brass and the harp. May God bless them and give them a blessed Advent Christmas season as well. Receive now the benediction, the responsive benediction printed in your bulletin. The old story has been told and the carols have been sung. But now we can go with the song of hope ringing in our heart.
Now we go out there to remind the world that the new beginning is possible.
And so we go. We do not go alone.
No, we walk together with all people whose hearts ring with the songs of hope.
And may God, made known in a tiny babe in a stable, go with us through all the seasons of our lives.